This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Lord, we live in tension. We feel you calling us away into the quiet, sacred, holy, and lonely spaces. And yet we also feel the heat and the crush of the urgent. Needs are all around, pressing us for answers, pushing us for help, and pulling us for time. Yet we cannot fully engage the needs without the perspective that only you can bring us from our time in the quiet. So grant us grace, Lord, to know when to retreat and when to engage. Give us ears to hear you in the quiet and eyes to see you through the haze of urgency. Amen. Good morning. Come away to a quiet place and rest a while. These words that Jesus gives in today's gospel that we've placed in simplified form on our sign on Seacrest are urgent words for those disciples as well as for us. As they were urgent words for Jesus to hear himself. Mark expresses in this gospel passage today what was happening with Jesus. Everywhere he goes, the crowds gather. It had to get annoying after a while that everywhere he tried to go, as soon as he was recognized, he would be surrounded by people. And so just as he tells his disciples, he lives it in his own life. He goes to the wilderness and goes to the desert and goes to the solitary places at night so that he can get his perspective. It's a theme throughout the Bible. Hagar, Elijah, Moses, they all go to the wilderness to find God. John the Baptist goes to the wilderness. And we know Jesus, just following that pattern of God's chosen people in the desert for 40 years, goes there for 40 days to fast and to pray. Come away and rest a while. It's crucial for us. There's the old classic story of the two men who are having this contest to see who could chop the most wood in one day. And so they set about doing their thing, and the one guy notices that the other guy is taking a break every hour. And he gets real confident, thinking, well, I'm not stopping. I'm going to do twice as much as him. And the day ends, and much to his surprise, the other guy has cut twice as much wood as he has. How did you do this? You kept taking breaks. I kept working. Yes, but you didn't notice that whenever I took a break, I was sharpening my axe. We need to sharpen our axe, metaphorically. And the only way we can do that is if we are coming away and resting a while on our spiritual journey with Jesus. If we have a relationship with someone, whether it is a spouse or a significant other or a family member or a friend, unless we come away and spend that time with that person, there is no way that that relationship can grow, let alone even maintain itself. And so the call for us today is to those ways in which we are nourishing ourselves and allowing God to recharge our batteries on the spiritual journey. We cannot be that energizer bunny forever. Sooner or later, we're going to crash and burn. And so we need to find those ways for ourselves that we are doing that. Now, I think today is a good day in our life cycle because we're sort of midstream through the summer now. Because going forward, those going back to school are starting to think about that. Those going back to work, if you're in the teaching profession, are thinking about that. Moms and dads are getting ready for the kids going back to school. So it becomes a time, perhaps, where we can think about when the urgency starts up again for us. What is that which I'm going to have in place to assure that I am doing what I know I need to do for those relationships, whether they be with our family and our spouses and our friends, but most importantly, with our God, with our shepherd. Because if we're not connected, we will be like in the gospel, Jesus says, sheep without a shepherd who go astray. The Benedictines called it a rule of life. That which we commit to what I am going to do on a daily basis to maintain my spiritual connectedness. If you are a cursiista, one of the most important outcomes of your cursio experience is to establish something like this, that I'm either going to join a reunion group, or I'm going to do morning and evening prayer every day, or I'm going to start doing a certain spiritual discipline, whatever it is that helps me to maintain that connectedness with the shepherd. We are commissioning 12 people today who are going on a spiritual pilgrimage. And those of you who have been blessed to be able to do that know that that's what this is all about. To go away and rest a while and soak in the blessings that God can give to us through a greater awareness of our Anglican heritage. It's so important for us. We can't live without it. So as we are at that midway point, perhaps today for all of us, it's an opportunity to look at this and to see where God might be calling each one of us to maybe redirect a bit, to maybe take on something new, find something new, to try out the wonderful centering prayer experience that Rev. Wendy offers, to think about joining a Bible study as Rev. Mary gets ready to kick that up again. Perhaps you need to re-energize your involvement in a small group ministry. All kinds of opportunities that are ours, but so important to our journey. Next Sunday, the pilgrims will gather at St. Matthew's Church in Edinburgh, Scotland. It might seem a bit obscure, but the building in which they worship is known as Roslyn Chapel. And if you're not familiar with that, if you have ever seen the movie The Da Vinci Code, it's where that final climactic scene occurs. This is a holy place long before The Da Vinci Code was written as a book or made into a movie. And in that last scene, Tom Hanks, they're searching for this incredibly important grave, and they go down into the crypt, and you see them going down the steps in Roslyn Chapel, and when they get into the crypt, there is this glorious panorama that they meet there, and they find what they're looking for. Well, it was the wonder of Hollywood that created that. They do go down the steps in Roslyn Chapel, but if you go down there, it's just a basement. There's nothing there. What has been amazing over the years as we have gone there with all of our pilgrimage groups, people will come to Roslyn Chapel and ignore the incredible beauty of the masonry and the artwork and just the aura that surrounds that whole place, and they go straight down into the basement. I think that's a good image for us of what we might tend to do. We go straight down to the basement and we miss all of these incredible blessings that surround us. Going away to a quiet place, whatever that is for each of us, is a way we can reconnect and refocus and understand and know in a deeper way the blessings that are ours. This powerful first reading that we hear today, where the presence of God is being carried around, and then God says, I will make you the house. We are meant to be that house, carrying God wherever we go. But the only way we're going to be aware of that is if we stay connected to the shepherd. There is a great Aesop's fable story of Aesop playing with some young boys, and somebody comes to him and says, you're being foolish, wasting your time with these boys. And he says, let me tell you a story. And so there is a bow tautly attached to a bow that you would shoot. He disconnects the string and places it now untaut on the ground. And he says, that bow is now not taut, but because it has rested, when I put it back on the bow, it will be able to achieve its purpose. But if I just leave that bow taut for a long time, it's not going to be able to function, and as a matter of fact, it's going to break. We need to untie those bows with regularity. And so we look for those ways in which God can be calling us to go away and rest a while. May we have the courage, the wisdom, and with God's help, the discernment to find those ways for each one of us. Amen.